The writing profession is thriving in the greater Washington, D.C. area. Writers come to use their craft in advertising agencies, newspapers, at universities, and for the government. They write full-time in their profession or may write part-time to supplement another income. Those who write independently must be more than writers to survive. They're their own employment agent, bookkeeper, researcher, and boss. There's no 9-to-5 and no company benefits. But in the Washington area, writers do have a support organization, the Washington Independent Writers. Welcome to Frankly Speaking. This is Joan Ziemba at George Mason University, the state university in Northern Virginia. With us today to discuss some of the support programs offered by the Washington Independent Writers is Elzolda Chapin, Executive Director. Elzolda, Washington Independent Writers has been organized for a little over 8 years now. What kind of growth have you seen in the organization and in its membership?
I've been the executive director of WIW for about 3.5 years, going on 4 years now. And both from what I've observed and what people tell me, there's been a tremendous growth. We started out as a small group, maybe of 20 to 200 people the first year, and now we have close to 1,500 members. We have an office, we have a staff of myself and two other people, plus a newsletter editor, and that just gives you an idea of how big we've gotten. At least we feel big.
The professionals that join independent writers, do they tend to be more writers of nonfiction and fiction, or are they wordsmiths, copy editors, and technical writers and proofreaders?
WIW really embraces all sorts of writers. Recently we did a survey of our membership, and it did seem to be that we were rather weighted on the nonfiction side. But that didn't mean we didn't have fiction writers. We did have quite a number. And we have a goodly number of people who are able to do proofing and copy editing, as well as writing.
Washington's been called a lawyer's town. It's also been called a writer's haven. Are there more writers here than there are projects for writers?
Well, I suppose that's a matter of opinion. It is a writer's haven because everything that goes on in this town requires somebody to write it up or to make a proposal out of it or to, in the end, maybe make a book out of it, so that there are a great number of projects. That doesn't mean that writing jobs are always easy to find. One of our resources is a job bank. We list from 15 to 20 jobs in the writing profession every week on the job bank, and that's not really enough to go around, though it's many more than you could find elsewhere.
How successful has that been for the membership?
The job bank has, I think, been quite successful. About a little over a year ago, we hired a job bank coordinator to take this whole project and develop it so that it wasn't just left to the office staff. And this coordinator, Ira Brodsky, has done a magnificent job of finding more jobs, of keeping track of the jobs that are filled by our members, to the extent that he really pays for himself, which is a wonderful thing in a small nonprofit organization that we collect enough commissions from the jobs to really pay for his services.
From the job bank, what seems to be the largest market for writers? Is it association work or government work or magazine writing?
I think it's really hard to tell. We haven't done a survey on that exactly. We get some of everything. We recently did a mailing, for instance, to Capitol Hill, to the administrative aides, and telling them about the organization, and within 3 weeks we had two or three new jobs listed, very good jobs for work with senators and congressmen. So that was a whole new field. Otherwise, I think it's frequently been either trade associations or publications.
Do they call you, or does Ira hunt these? I know I've heard things on the job bank line that you never see in the paper.
That's true. That's true. Well, of course, it just builds. You know, if we do a good job of finding somebody for an organization, then they tell their friends, and we get more referrals that way. So we hear by now we are hearing from people that we found jobs for previously, mm-hmm. and we have done a certain amount of outreach by these mailings to trade associations, newsletter editors, The Hill, mm-hmm. and so forth.
Can novice freelancers turn to WIW for different problems they may be having, say in the course of a freelance project for which they've been hired, if for whatever reason the article is killed and they're not paid a kill fee, or someone uses the article and they're not paid for it, can they turn to you for legal advice?
There are several things that can happen here. If a writer feels that he has been treated unfairly by a publication, say, he can or she can turn to our grievance committee, which listens to the whole scope of the grievance and the problems and makes a recommendation. The grievance committee chairman never does anything without the writer being in accord with whatever action he wants, mm-hmm. he or she wants to take. And this has been enormously successful. It's sort of like if you are upset about something that's happened, you haven't gotten your kill fee, you've been trying to get it out of the publication, but then this other person comes in, not as emotional, sort of from the side, and negotiates for you. And it just seems to work very well. Now, on more complex issues, we have a legal services plan within a law firm in town. Goldfarb, Singer, and Austin are our attorneys, and they also run a legal services plan. Members can join for $20, and for this they get certain benefits: a half hour of free consultation, a lower rate with if there are any further costs, and the excellent experience of this law firm in dealing with writing matters.
I would imagine with the recognition that WIW has been gaining over these 8 years, that just the clout of WIW backing would be sufficient in the number of cases.
Well, it's wonderful to think that okay. might be so. I think that, you know, is something that's coming about in this town, really.
You provide several kinds of supports for writers, and I know workshops are part of that. Are the workshops practical, nuts and bolts kind of workshops, or do they tend to be more philosophical, craft-oriented workshops?
I think that they vary a great deal. We're about to have a workshop on 40 new story ideas that have never been covered in Washington. Oh. Experienced writers are going to give their thoughts on this subject. We've had workshops on procrastination, writer's block, which are a little more philosophic. We have it on on the writing of biographies. We have a whole range, really, of workshop topics. We're about to start a new experiment, in a way, a mini course on the subject of freelancing for beginning freelancers, not necessarily beginning writers, but people who have written or not written too much, who want to start out freelancing. It's going to be a 4-session course, thereby being quite different from our 1-session workshops. Mm-hmm. It starts on February 9th. It's going to be held at Georgetown University in their very handsome auditorium in the Intercultural Building. And we'll see if that works out. We're going to start by with a session of what freelancing is all about, talking to the experts. Then there's going to be a nuts and bolts thing that talks about query letters and marketing. We're hoping that smaller groups will form from this larger group that can serve as support for each other as time goes by. And we're going to end up at the Washington Press Club with a special evening. Les Witten is going to speak, and there'll be wine and cheese, and I think it'll be very nice.
It sounds like an excellent idea. I think there are a number of pitfalls to going into freelancing unaware.
Indeed, there are.
Are there comparable organizations in other cities?
The organizations in other cities, all having grown up sort of indigenous to their city, vary. But WIW is the biggest of its kind. There's a new organization in Philadelphia that we helped to get started that I think takes a somewhat different tack than we do. There's no really similar organization in New York, though there are many, many writers' organizations, and we belong to the Council of Writers' Organizations, which is an organization of 22 writers' organizations. So you see, it just...
It's just growing.
Yes, it really does.
Does WIW pattern itself after any particular group, like a writer's guild or anything like that?
That we sort of made our own mold, and that other people have been copying us. But we really started somewhat earlier than others, and I think really pioneered.
I know one of the things that I found very unique about the organization is that you hold... the members themselves get together and hold small groups in addition to whatever meetings they may have or be involved in working with WIW. They also hold their small group sessions in local neighborhoods. Can you talk a little bit about that, how they started up?
Well, that was an idea that came up about 2 years ago, and it just took hold. It was thought that the workshops were so big that they never answered everybody's needs, and that especially the need for companionship and feedback and all that, and criticism of mm-hmm. manuscripts. So it started out from the feeling that there was this need, and it's just gone on ever since. And there are little groups all over town in the suburban areas, in the district.
What I find so impressive with it is the diversity of topics
right,
in these.
Right. I mean, sometimes they're talking about mystery stories.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're talking about fiction. Sometimes they're doing nonfiction. There is definitely a range for the small groups. And you don't have to stick just to your locality. If you live in Arlington and you want to go to a group that's meeting in the district, nobody says you couldn't.
For people who are writing and perhaps have not heard of your organization, how can they obtain more information?
They can certainly call us 347-4973. We'll be very happy to send them out brochures describing the organization. They can write to us in the district. We're at 525 National Press Building, Washington 20045. And I do want to be sure to mention our very largest project during the past year, which was the publication of a book called A Writer's Guide to Washington, which can also be gotten from us by writing. It costs $7.95 plus a dollar handling. No sales tax if you live in Virginia.
I would think that would be very handy for a beginning freelancer or someone new to the area who is interested in writing.
I think it's a wonderful book. It really cuts the time that a writer has to take in finding resources, in preparing his work. We have a whole range of subjects in the book. We talk about the Capitol and writing about the government. We talk about lobbying. We talk about the writer as a specialist. And we talk about the writer as an entrepreneur. So it's a valuable book.
Thank you, Isolde, for joining us today. We've been talking to Isolde Chapin, Executive Director of Washington Independent Writers. You've been listening to Frankly Speaking, a public service program produced by George Mason University, the State University in Northern Virginia. Thank you for listening.